Cape Talk.
The Open Line. Call 021-446-0567.
So as we normally do for the show, we sort of read around, see what people are doing on Facebook, check out what the new sites are doing, chat to your friends, and then find out, hey, what is something that people might want to talk about in the morning? So let me not dictate what you talk about, but I'll throw a couple of things out. It might interest you. It might not. If it does, pick up the phone and let's phone in. But the one Facebook post that I saw yesterday was from Jared Pitzer. Now, Jared Pitzer is the founder of Hashtag I'm Staying. He recently made a request last night, as a matter of fact, for people to donate as little as 10 rand to assist them to pay for 3 full-time salaries. And those 3 full-time salaries keeps the movement going. And that movement is a million strong. If you still don't know what Hashtag I'm Staying is all about, it really is a movement centered around people who choose to stay here in South Africa, despite the many challenges that the country faces. Jared was at pains yesterday to point out that they're not-for-profit organizations, so it's not like he's going to buy a Ferrari. They need to keep this movement going. And then you have companies like MNC, Saatchi, Able, that have given the movement some space in their buildings, and other corporates give them a little bit of assistance, but they're asking for 10 rand. Now, 2 complaints emanate out of this Hashtag I'm Staying movement. The first one is, and it was one administrator of a Facebook page who asked, why are they asking for money? We don't do the same thing. Why are they asking for money? Well, they've got a million people, and this Hashtag I'm Staying, in my personal opinion, I believe can be a great force for good in the country and can be a great catalyst for positive change and also change that drives to impact, where people who are less advantaged can benefit from those who actually have benefited, whether no matter what the color of your skin, right? So I don't see a problem with them asking for 10 rand as long as they're transparent about it. And then another complaint that emanates, you know, when one talks about Hashtag I'm Staying is, why does Hashtag I'm Staying delete negative posts? Excuse me? Once again, my personal opinion, we are surrounded by so much negative news, so much toxicity. It is actually lovely to go to a Facebook page and talk about the positives that South Africans see within society. Why must that thing deteriorate into every other chat, you know, section, comment section that we have online, where people have stupid fights? I like to sometimes go to that space and see, hey, there are some people who are positive about the country, and it should stay that way. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I'd love to hear from you, though. The number to dial, 021-446-0567, and the WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. And then there's this new draft law that's out there, and we will be talking about it in more detail a bit later. But it calls for an industry fitness regulatory authority. Gyms and fitness trainers, according to this draft law, gyms, fitness trainers will be accredited and can be shut down or suspended. It'll also be the first port of call for those who cannot get contracts cancelled. Is this a good or a bad thing, do you think? I mean, there are 2 sides. On the one side, some people are going to argue, yeah, but I make my living out of being a gym instructor. Now I've got to go through all this red tape. But on the other side, the advice you give people needs to be the right advice, because you give them the wrong advice, they could injure themselves, and there are consequences for that. So maybe you'd like to talk about that particular law. And finally, and it's not the final one I'm going to throw in there, but it's you know, one of the more newsy ones I'd like to throw into the mix. Jabu Mabuza stepping down as Eskom chair. This is after the utility failed to deliver on the president's promises that there won't be load shedding until mid-January. So he's fallen on his sword. That after the other Mabuza, of course, who's the deputy president, put some pressure on Eskom. And then we're also teetering on the edge as the system is very vulnerable. Yes, no stage 6 on the immediate horizon, but they've got massive, massive backlogs in maintenance. I know Jan Ober also was on this show talking about it. And the risk remains that we could hit stage 6. And what does the president do over the weekend? He talks about Eskom not being privatized. Pravin Gordhan thinks it's a good idea to break it up and privatize aspects thereof. His own finance minister believes that privatization is something that we need to do. He posted a tweet on Friday saying, we need to do this and we can't dilly-dally around the whole thing. We are sinking as an economy. And the president still playing to keep his job as the ANC president. And that seems to be what he's doing, pandering. And because he said this, you know, during that whole week of the January 8th statement. And that just leaves me feeling very uneasy. He also said he wants to get a better board in place, as long as we don't go to deployees. I mean, Jabu Mabuza is a comrade. Yes, he's done well in business. What does he know about energy? What does he know about energy? You need people who understand energy and the energy, the system, and the nuances that go with it. People who've run successful operations. If we get them in from overseas to get this thing right, do that. But we should really get rid of that notion, in my opinion, of the comrades coming in and saving the day when most of the time they don't. It is 9:13. What is on your mind? What would you like to talk about? Welcome back to the office. 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. This is Cape Talk and you're listening to Today.
Cape Talk. Cape Talk. WhatsApp Kino.
072-567-1567.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to Today. So if there's anything else you'd like, you know, yeah, we throw out topics and we throw out all sorts of things that are in the news, but I'm very interested in your personal stories as well. And maybe you've got a question that you'd like other people to ask. As a matter of fact, one of our colleagues, Marcus, came to sit with us and said, Kino, is there any way you guys can talk about this whole thing with parking? And I'm like, oh, parking. No, we talk about parking a lot. And he wasn't really talking about the parking. He's talking about the way you actually pay. So Marcus actually sent us a voice note. Take a listen.
Kino, I have a very middle-class problem that has irked me this morning. So I went to gym this morning, Virgin Active, and they're pretty good usually at paying parking. They'll give you 2 hours free and validate your tickets. But it's new year, new me, so I spent a few extra minutes in the gym, and I was over the 2 hours. So I'll happily pay. Of course, it's 10 rand to pay for parking. But what absolutely irks me is that it's 2020. It's January 2020. The future is here, and I still have to pay with cash. I'm in the Christian Barnard Hospital building, and there's one ATM machine far, far away. Mm. Nobody accepts cards. Nobody accepts any sort of electronic payment. How does the Interpark facility not have this modern form of payments? It's just absolutely mind-boggling.
No. Marcus, thank you for sending the voice note, by the way. I tend to agree. Personally, I don't walk around with cash. I don't know about you. I don't like getting robbed. I prefer not walking around with cash. So when I go to shopping centers, whether I go to the gym, whatever, if there's a boom, you need to be able to allow me to pay with a card. It is 2020, he's right. And I base where I go shopping, a large part of that is whether or not I can use my card to enter. Because the last thing you want is someone going, oh, it needs to be 10 rand and they take out these 2 rand coins or 1 rand. It also just takes forever. I just want to swipe and get out of there. Maybe you'd like to comment on that. Now we've got a call from Milan in Boetasig. Hi there, Milan. How are you doing?
Hi there, Kino. I'm all right. I just want to follow up with my thing where I went to see Eskom on Friday.
Yes.
When my bill jumped from 1.7 to 5.5.
Yeah.
The guy said to me, yes, Mr. Kleinsmith, your meter is obstructed. That's why we cannot read your meter. So I showed him the photo and showed him, yeah, my meter's on the pavement. He says, oh, okay, Mr. Clinton, you caught us out in a lie. We've got no people to read your meter, and that is why we've been estimating you for the last 8 months.
Said,
so why did you lie? Why are you lying to the customers all the time? He says, that's not me, sir. That's higher up in Eskom.
Is this an Eskom thing?
Eskom.
Okay, so
Eskom Kilani.
I'm gonna ask the team to Joe's gonna clip this conversation, and I'm sending it straight to the COO. It's ridiculous. We also had people along. Yeah, sorry, you were saying.
I've got a photograph where the thing is actually standing on my pavement. There's nothing in front of it, and they're telling me my meter is obstructed and they cannot get to it, and that's on their system.
Okay, I'm going to send this straight through to Jan Oberholzer this morning now. So Joe's going to clip it. I'll send it. Send us a photograph as well, Malin, if you can. To
send it to you on your WhatsApp for Cape.
Please do. And then the team will send it on to me. We'll send it to Jan, okay?
Yeah. Because, to send you an email, it wasn't worth it. So I thought, let me just find you today.
So much better to pick up the phone and speak to us.
Thanks for but I'm disappointed in them. I'm really disappointed.
Yes. Well, based on what I'm hearing, so am I. So, okay. Malin, thank you very much for that. Malin in Boertasach. Maybe you have had Eskom estimate your bill. I know up on the Bloberg area, a lot of people have complained. As a matter of fact, it was Pam Golding that complained about estimations that were done. I don't know if you're in the same boat, but you can share that with us. It's something that we need to deal with. But here's another interesting one. You know, there's a shortage of priests in the remote parts of the Amazon. And I would say it's not only the remote parts of the Amazon. It's probably becoming a bigger and a bigger shortage worldwide. And there was a report in October 2019 that the synod floated the idea that older married men should be allowed to be ordained as priests. And if the idea is accepted, the proposal could shake the Catholic Church to its core, as celibacy amongst priests, at least, is seen as fundamental when it comes to their role as priests. And especially the Catholic conservatives say, ooh, that is a non-negotiable. But we know what celibacy did, right? We can look at some of the other news stories over the last couple of years. But here's a report from Deutsche Welle. Take a listen.
They'd come all the way from the Amazon to make their case, joining bishops from all over the world. They're hoping the Catholic Church will help them save the world's largest rainforest. This year, man-made fires set by loggers have been raging, destroying the homes and livelihoods of local indigenous communities. In his sermon, Pope Francis blamed destructive interests.
The fire of God is warmth that attracts and gathers into unity. It's fed by sharing, not by profits. The fire that destroys, on the other hand, blazes up when people want to promote only their own ideas.
But there's a shortage of priests in the Amazon, cutting off many remote communities from the church. To remedy this, the three-week meeting of bishops will consider allowing married men in the Amazon to become priests. In a working document, it suggested this should, quote, be studied for older people, preferably indigenous, respected and accepted by their community, even if they have an existing and stable family.
If everything continues as it was, if we spend our days content that this is the way things have always been done, then the gift vanishes, smothered by the ashes of fear and concern for defending the status quo.
The move would be controversial, though. Catholic priests are required to be celibate so they can be fully devoted to the church. And traditionalists fear the move could pave the way for getting rid of the celibacy requirement altogether.
Well, there we go. I mean, quite frankly, I'm a roaming Catholic. I still see myself as a Catholic, but I'm a roaming Catholic. And for the longest time, I've been asking this particular question. Why should priests not be allowed to get married? If you're a rabbi, you can get married. If you're an Anglican priest, you can get married. I think it's inhumane, to be quite honest with you, to expect someone to remain celibate like that. Because not everybody would be able to do that. And we've seen what's happened. I wouldn't say it's as a direct result of celibacy, but I definitely think that the Catholic Church needs to relook this, to allow priests to get married. And some of the regulations around it stems back from hundreds of years ago, where the church didn't allow priests to get married, because if they got married, whatever they owned could then go to their families, and they wanted to protect their property. So I don't know. Hopefully I'm not upsetting too many people, but let's have a discussion around this. I mean, what role does celibacy really play? Maybe you are a priest. Maybe you can explain that. Maybe you were a priest and you'd like to explain that. Let's go to Kurt in Constantia. Hi there, Kurt. Good morning.
Kino, morning. How are you doing?
Always good, sir. Thank you for the call.
So I'm a 47-year-old Catholic. I have the intentions of changing. I'm not the staunchest Catholic, but I've for the longest time believed that it is the most unnatural thing to expect a man or woman to be celibate. We're just not built that way. And if we believe that God made us the way we are, then he made us to be beings that are sexual, that need a partner.
Yep.
So I don't see any reason why they shouldn't marry. There is the argument, of course, that priests don't earn an income, but that's all nonsense. You know, the church can pay them a salary or do whatever to divorce them from somebody claiming money from the Catholic Church. It's unnatural. It should go, and it should go quickly.
You could even have a contract, man. You can have an ANC without accrual, if you like. There's so many tools that you can. I agree. It's just, you know, it is archaic. It is archaic and it's unnatural. And I don't know why the Catholic Church still hangs on to this.
Anyway, agreed.
As one moderate Catholic to another, thank you for the call, Kurt.
Have a good day.
Cheers. Maybe you'd like to call in on that one. And another little bit of interesting news here. A few years ago, right, we would have laughed at the idea of Trump being the king in a chess set featuring U.S. leaders. But now we know better. He is the king. CNN's Jenny Moose compiled a report on this new chess set that features the U.S. President Donald Trump and commemorates the 2020 election. Take a listen.
He is now officially a king.
President Donald J. Trump.
A king in a chess set being marketed with a most batshit crazy commercial.
Pawns, elephants for the Republicans and donkeys for the Democrats.
Oh yeah, it's real. How can you tell?
The individually numbered certificate of authenticity.
Its creator predicts this will be the best-selling toy of 2020. Available online and coming soon to a Walmart near you. With Supreme Court justices like Kavanaugh and Ruth Bader Ginsburg as bishops. Legislative leaders like Pelosi and McConnell.
Knights riding symbolic donkeys and elephants into battle.
The president of the marketing firm Telebrands dreamed up the chess set, figuring it could help unite families.
A keepsake you'll cherish for generations.
A.J. Kubani told CNN he wanted it to be politically even.
Each piece painstakingly designed.
Various versions of the set sell for $40 to $100. Inquiring minds want to know, is the chess set related to Trumpy Bear? Star of overbearing but irresistible commercials.
Introducing the original Trumpy Bear.
Is this crap for real? People wondered. It is.
Simply styled his trademark hair.
God bless Trumpy Bear.
But Trumpy Bear and the chess set are the products of rival marketing companies. Just think, those who have pondered whether
our president is playing a kind of three-dimensional chess. He's a brilliant tactician.
Can now play chess with him as their king, since the Democrats haven't yet nominated a presidential and VP candidate. The set includes two empty podiums.
Once the candidate is selected, you will be notified to acquire the final pieces.
For an additional $9.99, anybody want to tell Mike Pence that he's a queen?
The fun will never end.
Sorry. Oh, my word. Oh, you're going to love Jenny Moose. Jenny Moose there, of course, with CNN. I mean, would you buy a Trump? I mean, a Trump set. Would you? It probably is a Trump set now these days, isn't it? Would you buy a chess set like that? A lot of people would say, if I buy the chess set, it'll be worth a lot more. Regan Thor, would you buy a chess set with Trump as the king? No, maybe not.
Anything's to spend my money on.
Absolutely. And if we had to have a South African chess set, I mean, Cyril Ramaphosa would be king. But the only problem is, the king normally stands upright, because but this king would have to bend over backwards because it's. Rugrat is gone.
We'd have to make our own special South African version of chess.
We'd have to get him a spine.
Hundreds of years of chess traditions.
Anyway, if there's anything that you'd like to talk about, even though the open line comes to a close officially at 9:30, I encourage you to pick up the phone and give us a call on 021-446-0567. And WhatsApp at 072-567-1567. You can also share the stories of your little ones going to creche for the very first time. How are they taking to it? Are you doing a new job? Is there something really exciting happening with you in 2020? Maybe there's something you'd like someone else to trial and try out that might bring them lots of joy. I don't know. Whatever it is that you have, you can share it with us this morning on 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. I, for example, as a dad of a two-year-old, I'm very sad that I can't drop my two-year-old at creche, but he's got this thing. On the weekend, he says, "Mommy, no school, hey. Mommy, no school, hey. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mommy, no school, hey." And when you tell him he's going to school, he cries and absolutely loses it. And so, you know, I've got a little one who doesn't want to go to school at all. And then mom drops him and ends up crying as well. So you can share your stories this morning. I would love to hear it. Your daughter, is she going to creche?
And she loves creche.
She's like dad. She walks in and she's like in charge, right?
And we cannot wait to get off our hands. Kids tend to go a bit feral over the day.
Yeah, they do. Drive us up. We won't tell her that, though. Don't worry.
Cape Talk. WhatsApp Kino.
072-567-1567.
Hi, Kino. Mr. Zuma was advised not to attend the ANC birthday celebration. Any idea what's wrong with him? Was just wondering whether he then will be able to make the Zondo Commission, which is meant to appear in very soon. Thanks, Mary.
Okay, I don't know if corrupt is being a sickness, but we know he's got one thing wrong with him at least. But he has to. There'll be a subpoena. Watch Zondo. They'll find a subpoena. He'll have to speak. I don't know what's wrong with him, but we can certainly find out. We're also trying to get hold of Eskom very quickly to find out what's happened with those megawatts, 13,000 megawatts. Okay, so Jan can't join us right now, Jan Oberholzer, but I'm going to ask him to send a WhatsApp just explaining the 13,000 megawatts. He says he's sitting in Exco at the moment. So if he could share with me via WhatsApp what the big challenge is around the 13,000 megawatts that's been lost, then I'll share that with you. It is 27 minutes to 9, or at least 27 minutes to 10. Me and my time warp frame of mind.